I'm going to read Psalm 139, 1 through 6, and 23 through 24. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path to everlasting life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be.
Well, good morning. Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. And we're continuing this teaching series we started a few weeks ago called I Need a Miracle, where we're studying some of Jesus' miracles to discover what you can do when you need a miracle. And today we're learning about what to do when you feel alone, when you feel abandoned. And so if you haven't yet, go ahead and grab those sermon notes so you can take them, some notes, and you can follow along during the message. And as you do, I want you to consider this question. Have you ever felt completely abandoned? Have you ever experienced that, where you just felt all alone, where you felt rejected? You know, maybe it was a spouse that walked out on you, taking your security, your money, your friends, and even your dreams, and you just felt abandoned. Or maybe it was your parents were divorced when you were young, and you never really felt welcomed or accepted. And because of that, you had to kind of figure things out on your own, and you just had this feeling of abandonment. You know, maybe you moved to this area of Michigan with great expectations, and you thought it would be easy to get connected and build some great friendships, but it just hasn't happened that way yet, and maybe now you just feel isolated, you feel abandoned. And you know, I wish I could say those feelings of abandonment and loneliness and isolation, that those feelings are rare, but it just isn't true. It's not the case. You know, recent studies actually have found right now in America that we're in a loneliness epidemic. Over 60% of American adults say that they struggle with loneliness. They feel isolated. They feel alone. And you know which demographic actually struggles with the most? It's Generation Z. It's our 18 to 25-year-olds. Our youngest adult generation struggles with loneliness the most. And there's a lot of reasons for this. But let me tell you, when you have those feelings of, I just feel abandoned, I feel alone, I feel isolated, those feelings, they hurt deeply. And they can be really dangerous, because these feelings can lead to heightened stress. They can lead to health issues. They can lead to us making some bad decisions, to getting into bad relationships. It can even lead to substance abuse and so much more. And that's why, as we jump into today's miracle, I want you to know this truth, that God has never abandoned you. He just never has left you all alone. That's just not what God does. And so let's learn from Jesus what to do when we're struggling with loneliness, when we feel abandoned. From the miracle of Jesus healing 10 lepers, we find this in Luke chapter 17. It starts in verse 10. It says, as Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And so this border is kind of this no man's land. They're traveling south. They're going from Galilee, which is north of Samaria. They're heading to Jerusalem, but they got to go through Samaria to get there. And so they're heading that way. And so if you don't, though, you have to go the long way around. And so they're going through in Samaria. And the problem is that Jesus and his disciples, they're Jewish. And the Jews and Samaritans just didn't get along during this time. In fact, they despised each other. A Jewish person would have never gone to the home of a Samaritan person. They would have never touched them. They would have never had a conversation with them, because that would have made them unclean. And so understand, there's some tension that's already there as Jesus and his disciples are approaching Samaria. And it says this then in verse 12. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, the first thing I notice here is that these lepers knew who Jesus was. They were waiting for Jesus at the entrance of the village. They didn't even wait for him to get into the village and get settled. They were ready for a miracle. And this is a recurring theme that we'll see throughout this series, that those who receive miracles from Jesus are those who are desperate and will do anything to get to him. And if you feel abandoned right now, if you have those feelings of loneliness and you need a miracle from Jesus, then I want to encourage you to be like one of these lepers. Do whatever you have to do to get to Jesus. Don't wait. Another thing that I've noticed in this passage is that they stood at a distance yelling at him. They didn't walk right up to Jesus. They couldn't because they had leprosy. They were unclean. And in the first century, if you had leprosy, you were required to stay about 50 yards away from other people at all times. You see, leprosy was a very contagious skin disease that made it seem like your skin was rotting. It caused nerve damage, and so that you couldn't feel pain even when you were hurting yourself. And it could lead to deformities and disfigurations. Your fingers and toes might fall off, and you just would smell awful from it. Today, with modern medicine, leprosy is far more manageable, but even with modern medicine, there's an estimated 10 million people who suffer from leprosy today. So what we need to understand is these lepers were total outcasts. No one wanted to get near them. But also, the Jewish people believed that this leprosy was a punishment for sin. It was a mark of God's displeasure with a person. And because of this, these lepers were not only dealing with physical abandonment, but also with spiritual and emotional abandonment and isolation as well. It's not just that I don't want to be near you because I don't want to get leprosy, but also you're a bad person because you're unclean and you're being punished by God. So there's this stigma, it's a double condemnation. Now it's interesting to note that there are 10 lepers. Even though they've been shut out of society, to keep from being totally, entirely alone, they turn to one another for support and to survive. So in our story, they're shouting out to Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. And no matter what you've done, no matter how badly you've messed up, no matter how rejected you are or alone you may feel in the moment, you can always throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus. And he's always there with open arms for you. He will always have compassion for you. Jesus loves you, and he never will reject anyone who comes to him, no matter what you've done. Even if other people have totally rejected you, Jesus will never abandon you. So we pick up this story, verse 14. And calling out to Jesus, he said, he looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. Notice that Jesus doesn't heal them instantly right here in this moment. Instead, he tells them to go and show themselves to the priest. Now, why? You see, showing yourself to the priest is a little bit weird here. It's backwards. Because showing yourself to the priest was a step that you took after you've been healed. The Old Testament gives the instructions that after you've been healed from leprosy, you would go and you'd show yourself to the priest, and they would check to see if you were clean, if the leprosy was gone. And if it was, the priest would declare that you were clean and healed, and then you could then re-enter society. But Jesus sends them to the priest while they still have leprosy. Why? Well, this is a test of their obedience. And don't miss this. Your miracle comes after obedience, not before. It comes after you do what Jesus has asked you to do, not before you do it. Because obedience is a prerequisite for Jesus working a miracle in your life. And obedience doesn't always make sense in the moment it's asked of you. So look what happens next. It says, as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Jesus says, go, show yourself to the priest. They went, and as they were going, they're cleansed of their leprosy. And this miracle, it's tied to their obedience. They were healed after they obeyed Jesus. Their faith led to the miracle that they were desperately needing. So look, if you're asking Jesus for a miracle, well, right now, you know you're not doing what God wants you to do. That disobedience is going to block that miracle every single time. Because people will tell me, well, you know, Pastor Todd, I don't know why my finances are so messed up. But you're not following biblical principles of money management. You don't have a budget. You don't honor God by putting Him first with the tithe. You buy things that aren't good for your body. Or I hate to say, well, I don't know why I can't find a healthy relationship. But yet you're choosing to sleep around and you go out with anyone who says okay, even though they're not a believer. Or you say, I just don't know why I can't overcome my depression or my lack of purpose. But you rarely go to church and you won't get into a growth group and you won't spend time studying your Bible or praying to God. You see what I mean? These lepers, they trusted Jesus. They obeyed Him and immediately did what Jesus asked them to do. And even though it didn't make sense, when Jesus asked them to go show themselves to the priest before they were even healed, they did it. And so we notice as they went, they were healed. As they were going on their way. In other words, they had to take a lot of steps towards that priest still having leprosy. They had to keep going and not give up. They had to hold on to that promise of healing before they got that healing. And because they obeyed Jesus, they experienced their miracle. They were cleansed of their leprosy. The obstacle that caused their abandonment was removed. And they had a future now. They had their lives back again. So our story continues. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking Him for what He had done. And this man was a Samaritan. The Samaritan, one of the lepers, is healed, and he then comes back to Jesus, and he's just making this big scene. It says that he's loud, that he's shouting, he's saying, "Praise God, praise God, praise God, I'm healed. Thank you, thank you, thank you." He wants everybody to know that he's been healed. He wants everybody to know that Jesus is the one who healed him, and he wanted God to get the glory. He wanted God to get all the credit. But notice, it was a Samaritan who was the one that came back to thank Jesus, who was Jewish. The person you would have thought would have had the least amount of faith was the one of the 10 that came back to say thank you to Jesus. And even though this leper was a Samaritan, Jesus didn't reject him, and He won't reject you either. See, Jesus has no favorites. He loves you no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. So our story continues, verse 17. Jesus asks, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Jesus asks, where are the other 9 men? Why didn't they return to say thank you as well? Now, the other 9 lepers probably weren't bad people. They were healed. I imagine they were so excited they probably ran as fast as they could to get to the priest because the priests were the ones who could declare that they were clean, who could give them permission to get back into society, to let them see their families again so that they could be able to begin working again, to get their jobs back. They could begin to just resume their lives. And because of this, they were so excited about the miracle that they ran to get the blessing of the miracle. But don't miss this. They were too distracted by the benefits of the miracle to say thank you to the one who gave them the miracle. They were just so distracted by all the good things that came from being healed from leprosy that they never thought of saying thank you to Jesus who gave them that miracle. And because of that, they missed the biggest blessing of this miracle, and that is to be near Jesus. So I'll come back to that in a moment. So back to our story. Verse 19 says, "And Jesus said to the man, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you.'" Now, would you circle that word, healed? This is an interesting statement because the guy's already been healed. His leprosy is already gone. He'd been cleansed of it before he came back to say thank you. What is Jesus saying here? Well, the Greek word that's translated for healed can also be translated as saved. Jesus said to this former leper, not only has your faith and obedience healed you of leprosy, but by coming back, and thanking God your faith has saved you. Jesus does a deep, much deeper work in this one leper's life than just healing a skin disease. He deals with the man's heart condition between him and God and saves him of his sins. He gives him eternal life. The other lepers who ran to the priest after the miracle, they completely missed this. So let's apply this miracle to our lives today. Here's some things we can learn from this miracle that can show us what we need to do when we feel abandoned, when we feel alone, when we feel isolated. Here's the first one. You know, if you're taking notes, go ahead and write this in. Recognize that feelings of abandonment are part of this fallen world. The first thing, you got to recognize that these feelings of abandonment are part of this fallen world. You know, I wish this story of the 10 lepers was a rare case of someone feeling abandoned or isolated or rejected, but it's not. I mean, many of us, I imagine all of us have experienced that feeling at some point, haven't we? Yes, I was thinking back over my life. I remember moving to Maine the summer before my third grade year in school, and I really hadn't made any friends yet at school as school was starting. And I remember at recess being one of the last two people picked for the game of kickball that recess. No one wanted to pick the new kid who probably didn't know how to play the game. Remember my seventh grade year in school. I just moved from Maine to Ohio. Again, I hadn't really made many friends at school yet. And I remember one day at lunch, somebody from one side of the room decided to start a food fight with somebody on the other side of the room, and I was sitting in the middle. And in the middle of all that, I ended up getting a bunch of pudding right in my hair. And I imagine no one was aiming at me, but that's not how it felt, as I was trying to get that pudding out of my hair before my next class started. It just made me feel very alone. I remember a couple of times being picked on by a bully, or times when I competed in a competition and got a poor score, or times when a person I was dating decided to end that relationship. I'm sure you have your battle scars as well. Of feeling abandoned, feeling lonely, rejected. Just because in life, that's what happens. People let you down. Okay? People lash out at you. People judge you unfairly, and people reject you. It happened to Jesus, the perfect Son of God, and it happened to us too. Even the Apostle Paul felt abandoned at times. But let me tell you, he never gave up hope. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8. I think your notes might say 1 Corinthians. That's wrong. It's 2 Corinthians. And we heard this verse last week, but we're going to hear it again today, where it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Would you underline that phrase? We're never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Paul was rejected by others, but he knew he would never be rejected by God. And the truth is that leprosy does exist. Spouses leave, loved ones die, jobs can take you to strange new cities where you don't know anyone. Debilitating diseases isolate you. People can be so mean to us, tearing us down. The world is fallen and broken because of sin, and we don't treat each other right. We don't take care of each other the way we should. This world is not as God created it or how he intended it to be because of sin. And because of this, feeling abandoned is part of this broken world. So whenever you feel it, don't feel like you're the only one feeling it. And don't give up hope. Instead, we look at this next step. After I recognize that these feelings are a common part of this fallen world, then second, we need to reveal the source of my feelings of abandonment. We need to reveal the source of these feelings I have of abandonment. You know, whenever you feel alone or rejected, take some time to identify the true source of these feelings. For these 10 lepers, their feelings stem from this disease and the fact that they were rejected by society because of it. Sometimes, like with these lepers, it's clear what your rejection and your feelings are coming from. You know, when you go through a divorce or you get fired or somebody betrays you, the source of your hurt feelings is just very clear. But sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out what that source is. And that's when it's important that you take some time and go to God and ask Him to reveal that source to you. That's what David did. We find it in Psalm 139. We heard Olivia read that passage for us. But those last couple verses said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you. And lead me along the path of everlasting life." And maybe you need to pray this prayer to God, at least the first part of it. Will you ask God to search you? Search me, oh God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my thoughts. God, would you look inside of me? Would you help me understand where these feelings are coming from? These feelings of loneliness, of abandonment, of isolation. And if you're struggling with this, you know, if that's just something that you're dealing with, then sometimes you need to get to the heart of what that is. Because maybe you feel abandoned. And you think it's because of what someone had said to you. Or maybe something someone had did to you, but really that's not the source. Maybe it's this insecurity that you had in your life where you were rejected by one of your parents or by something that happened in school when you were younger. And now you take that fear and insecurity into every new relationship that you go into because that's not been healed yet. Or maybe you push people away because someone in your past rejected you. And you blame others for this, but you never get too close to anyone because you're just so afraid it's going to happen again. And if you're feeling abandoned and rejected right now, you know, don't lash out. Stop blaming others. Stop pushing people away. First, we just need to learn to pause and reflect and ask God to help us identify the true source of that insecurity, of these feelings of loneliness. Only then can you begin to move past these feelings of abandonment. And after you do this, we then need to take this next step, and that is to receive or give forgiveness freely and fully as needed. To receive or give forgiveness freely and fully as needed. Oftentimes, feelings of abandonment can be caused by broken relationships. You know, there was a fight. There was a disagreement. There was this falling out. The words were said. Hurt feelings are there now. And if your life is just littered with broken relationships, you're naturally going to feel alone and isolated and abandoned. And if there are patterns of this in your life, where you have broken relationship after broken relationship, then these patterns are probably connected to something from the past that you need to address. And if that's the case, there's only one solution for you, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness is the most powerful force in the entire universe. It's the only force that can heal both your relationship with God and your relationships with other people. It's the only force that can heal what's broken inside of us. That's why the miracle of forgiveness is greater than any other miracle that we talk about in this series. Because when you come to Jesus and you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you of your sins even when you don't deserve that forgiveness. Amen. He heals your relationship with God. He gives you this connection to eternity. And that's a miracle. But then when you offer forgiveness to those who've hurt you, or when you ask for forgiveness from those that you've hurt, God begins this process of healing your heart. Not only that, but He begins to heal those relationships. And that also begins to heal those feelings inside of you of isolation and abandonment and rejection. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "Make allowance for each other's faults," because everybody's got them. You know, that might be a surprise. Everybody but me, right? No, we all got them. Okay, so make allowance for everybody's fault or others' fault, and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, I don't like that word, must. I'd so much rather it said, so you usually should forgive others. I'd like it a lot better. You know, if God would let me rewrite some of this, maybe that would be one of mine. But you know, that's not what He says. There's no wiggle room in there. So you must. There's no exceptions. Forgive others. Underline that phrase. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Jesus forgives you when you didn't deserve it, so that you can forgive others who hurt you when they don't deserve it. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, Pastor Todd, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going to do it. You know, I'm not going to forgive. I'll just figure out another way to deal with these broken feelings. You know, I'm just going to get some new relationships. And you can try to do that. But it's not going to work. Because you know what you're going to end up doing is that as you create these new relationships, you're just going to drag all that stuff from the past, all your unforgiveness, all that bitterness into those new relationships. And you're never going to be able to move beyond your hurt until you come to terms with forgiveness. You could try it, but I promise you, you can't fix it without forgiveness from God. Only Jesus can forgive, fix the brokenness that's within you. And it only comes through forgiveness. So do you want healing from that heaviness, from that painful tenderness in your heart, and that loneliness? So then ask yourself, who is it that you need to forgive? And who is it that you need to ask for and receive forgiveness from? So when you feel abandoned, realize that your feelings are part of this broken world. Reveal the true source of those feelings. Receive or give forgiveness. And then our next step is to realize that Jesus has never abandoned you. Realize that. Not just a fact in your head, but in your heart, realize that Jesus has never abandoned you. Why did these 10 lepers come to Jesus? They came to Jesus probably because they had no other option. Everybody else in their life had abandoned them. Everybody else in their life made them stay 50 yards away from them, and they were hoping that Jesus would be different. And when they asked, Jesus, have mercy on us, what did Jesus do? Jesus healed them, because Jesus wasn't going to abandon them. Psalm 27, verse 10 says, even as my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. No matter how alone you might feel right now, Jesus has never left you. No matter how rejected you might be experiencing in your heart right now, Jesus has never given up on you. And no matter how abandoned you might feel right now, Jesus has never abandoned you. And you might be struggling with loneliness and depression right now. And I know if that's what you're experiencing, that hurts. And I'm sorry, I'm truly sorry that you're dealing with this and you're going through this. And if that's you, I would just like to pray with you right in this moment. And even more than that, before we go to the next point, if you're struggling, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And so let's go to God. And if you're struggling with any of these feelings of being alone right now, would you just say these words in your heart as I pray them out loud? Let's pray. Jesus, you know the pain I'm feeling right now. I feel alone, rejected, abandoned. But even though I may not feel it, I know you're here. I know you love me. I know that you'll never leave me. So I claim that promise right now. Please remove these feelings that are an attack from the enemy and replace them with your peace, in your presence and your power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you needed that prayer this morning, I want to just encourage you that if you take out your connection card, there on the back, I've got several next steps. But the second next step says, thank you, Jesus, for always being with me and never abandoning me. And if you would take just a moment and mark that next step, I'll be praying for you this week that you will experience God's presence and his power in your life in a way that you have maybe never experienced it this before, where you just get this sense where God's presence is helping you as you're overcoming these things. So mark that if you would, and I'll be praying for you this week. So you recognize the feelings of abandonment, that they're part of this fallen world. You reveal the true source of those feelings. Realize that Jesus has never abandoned and never will. And then back to your notes. I encourage you to write this in. Remain connected to my church family. remain connected to my church family. In our story today, there were 10 lepers. And these lepers all came from different backgrounds. At least one of them was a Samaritan. Yet these lepers, they came together, you know, because everybody else had rejected them. You know, despite their differences, they were able to work together to support each other. And this is just a great reminder of why every follower of Jesus needs a church family. Especially when so many in our community are dealing with this loneliness. A recent study found that while over half of U.S. adults experience loneliness, only 22% of churchgoers experience loneliness. And if you go to church, your chances of being lonely are cut in half by those who don't go to church. And the church, it is meant to be a family that helps you overcome the loneliness that you feel. That's why connecting with your church family is so important. It's one of the reasons Hebrews 10:25 says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Don't neglect our meeting together. You know, here at Living Water, we're certainly not perfect, but what we are is we're a hospital for sinners and a place where people learn to let go of that sin. And so the truth is, if you are already perfect, please don't stay, because you're going to end up messing it up for the rest of us. Okay? But the truth, the point is that we all have our struggles. And if you are weary and heavy laden, if you're not who you hoped you'd be right now, but you're striving to be more like Jesus, if you're feeling lonely, you don't have to go it alone. Jesus' family is the church, and there is a place for you here. There's a place for you here on Sundays. There's a place for you in a growth group. There's a place for you in one of our ministry teams. I just encourage you to take a step and get connected, because we all need healthy relationships in our life. If right now you feel like you're on the outside looking in, you don't have to stay there. Get connected or get reconnected with your church family. And then there's one final lesson we learned from this miracle of Jesus healing the 10 lepers that I think will help you if you feel abandoned or if you feel rejected right now. And that's to return thanks to God. To stay connected completely. Return thanks to God so that you can stay connected completely. If you can thank God for everything that happens to you, the good and the bad, your thanks will then turn the burdens of life into blessings. Returning thanks to God can turn very scary situations, obstacles, into opportunities. Because gratefulness, what it does is it glorifies God. Gratefulness opens the door to miracles in your life. 9 lepers didn't return to say thank you to Jesus for healing them, and as a result, they missed out on a much deeper blessing. And we do this all the time. God gives us a blessing. Maybe he gives us provisions. He heals something. He intervenes in our life. And like the 9 lepers, we forget to return to Jesus and just utter a simple thank you. Acknowledge what he's done and that it came from him. And there's a real spiritual danger when we forget to say thank you to Jesus. The longer your gratitude is disconnected from God's blessing, the sooner you're going to end up forgetting that it was Jesus who did it for you. And the more you're going to end up missing out on future miracles that God stands ready to bring into your life right now. Now, before we judge these 9 lepers who didn't return to Jesus to say thank you too harshly, let me ask you this. How is your GQ? You ever heard of that GQ? Not your IQ, your intelligence quotient, but how is your GQ, your gratitude quotient? Okay? How often do you take your blessings for granted? You know, you get what you want from God, but you just don't think to come back and thanks. As a result, you miss the greater miracles that Jesus might have wanted to bring into your life. Notice how much this leper's gratitude blesses Jesus in this story. And how Jesus seems genuinely disappointed that the other 9 didn't return to thank him as well. by returning to Jesus, by recognizing who Jesus was, this one leper was not only healed physically, but he was also healed much deeply, spiritually. Jesus said, your faith has saved you. He is already healed of the leprosy, and now he has been saved inside his body from his sins. He was saved from a life without purpose. He's saved from being separated from God. The priest declared the other nine lepers were healed from leprosy, but Jesus declared that the Samaritan who had returned to give God thanks was not only healed physically, but he was saved because of his faith. In the end, the ingratitude of the nine was far more deadly than that leprosy itself. But for the one leper, his gratefulness led to a deeper work from God. You know, it's wonderful to experience the miracle of physical healing. And it's wonderful to no longer be separated or feel abandoned by others. But it is way more wonderful to experience the miracle of salvation. To know that your sins are forgiven, to know you've been accepted by God, that you have this purpose to live for, that you have eternity to look forward to. Look at our last final verse. It's our key verse for today, so let's just read this verse out loud together. It starts with the words, and let the peace. You see it there, it's up there on the streets, and you know it. Let's read this together. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body, we are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And always be thankful. As the praise band comes forward, let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now I pray for anyone who's just experiencing these emotions of abandonment and loneliness. Who just feel forgotten and rejected. I pray for a miracle in their lives, like the one that the lepers experienced. That they will know that they will never be abandoned by you. And that they can get connected to their church family, that they'll experience healing and renewal in their lives. I also want to pray for anyone who needs to receive forgiveness or needs to give forgiveness. You know, as we're praying, you know, forgiveness can be such a challenging thing for us. For some of us, it's the challenge of forgiving ourselves. We just struggle with the idea that we feel like we don't deserve to be forgiven, mainly because it's true. We don't deserve it, and we have learned that if things seem too good to be true, not to trust it, but this is one gift that comes with no strings attached. You simply need to reach out to God and receive that by faith, to believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, to believe that he's right now in heaven praying for you, that he's knocking at your door. All you have to do is say yes to that gift of forgiveness and allow that amazing gift to completely change your life. But then there are others of us who are struggling with the other side of forgiveness, forgiving someone who's deeply hurt us. You know, it's one thing for a loving, perfect God to forgive us. But then taking that gift and giving it to someone else who has deeply wounded us, it's a lot easier to say than it is to do. Father, I pray that you would help the one who's struggling with forgiveness to have the strength to release that hurt to you. We're not saying what happened was okay. We're not saying that this person deserves to be forgiven. We're simply saying I release that person who hurt me from the desire to get even, from the desire to hold grudges, from the desire to protect my heart, and so I choose to forgive them. You know, would you do that right now as we're praying? In your heart, just silently say the person's name and the words, I forgive you. Say their name, I forgive you. It doesn't somehow magically fix the relationship. This doesn't mean that you let this person continue to wound you, but you release the negative emotions, you release the pain, and you release your right to get even. And the amazing thing about forgiveness is that once you do it, it releases you from the prison that you've been holding yourself in. It gives your heart freedom And it makes space in your soul for God to give you his perfect peace as we continue to pray. Challenging thing is that you might offer forgiveness today, but find that you need to do it all over again as your mind brings up what happens. And you might have to give them again tonight and on Monday and 3 days times on Tuesday and a couple times on Wednesday. But if you keep doing it, if you keep saying, I forgive you, at some point your healing sticks and your heart completely lets go and your mind begins the journey of forgiving, of not continuously bringing it back up again. Forgiveness is sometimes a one-time thing, a one-time thing. Sometimes it's a journey, it's a process. But if you'll stick with it, the healing comes to you like waves. God, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for the miracle that you have done in our lives in the past. You know, if God has brought a miracle your way recently and you didn't think to thank him for it, why not do that right now while we're praying? Just thank God for what he's done in your life. Thank him for the provisions. Thank him for the wisdom. Thank him for dealing with that situation you didn't know what to do with. Thank you for that healing in your body. Just offer up thanks right now. God, we bless you. We praise you. We glorify your name. We bow our hearts before you. Do a new work in our life. Revive us, O Lord. We pray this in Jesus' precious, beautiful name. Amen.